tonight. Welcome, everyone. I'd like to call the April 24th, 2023 board meeting to order and remind everyone to please mute your phone or your computer mic when you're not speaking. In addition, if anyone other than a board member would like to speak, please use the raise hand feature and wait to be acknowledged by the board recorder. Thank you. So could we begin with the roll call? Would the board recorder now conduct a roll call for the record?
All right. From the City of Beaverton, Commissioner Tivnon.
Here.
City of Hillsborough, Commissioner Godsey.
Here.
City of Sherwood, Commissioner Rosner.
Here.
City of Wilsonville, Commissioner Ackerval.
Here.
TVWD, Commissioner Doan.
Here.
Thank you. We have a quorum. As a note for tonight's attendance, we are missing a representative from the City of Tigard. All other attendance will be recorded using Microsoft Teams participant list.
Excellent. And that brings us to the General Manager's report. Mr. Kreska, if you could go ahead and present the General Manager's report.
Great. Thank you very much, Chair Ackerval, and good evening, commissioners. And so let's get into the General Manager's report, where we always start off with a safety minute. And so this one's about what to do after an auto accident. So click on the next slide here. There it is. So what to do after an auto accident? Well, there are six steps you should take to make sure everyone's safe, start the insurance claim process, and follow Oregon law. So let's get into what are those six steps. First is to stay calm and check for injuries. It's always hard to do, but it's always a good reminder to try to do that. Check that those involved in the accident are safe and uninjured, and keep calm to help control the situation. Get yourself and your vehicle out of danger is number two. If your car is drivable, move it to the side of the road. Keep your hazard lights on, and if you have them, set up flares and emergency triangles. If, however, the crash is severe or anyone's hurt, don't move the vehicles. Just leave them where they're at. And then number three, contact the police, of course. Dial 911, wait for the police to arrive. Answer any questions that the police officer might have so they can file a police report, and then request a copy of that police report. Number four is to collect important information, of course, exchange names, addresses, phone numbers, driver's license number, and auto insurance information, and then gather vehicle information, including year, make, and model. Councillor Tivnon, do you have a comment?
I do. I actually just went through this a few years ago, and our insurance told us to never, ever give your address out. Or let them take a photo of your ID. In case things go sideways, you want someone potentially knowing where you live. But I just thought I'd throw that out there because I wrote all this stuff down in the glove compartment for my husband and I, because you don't think of these things in the moment when you've gone through something like that. So it's like a cheat sheet of things remembered.
Wow.
That was one of my items. So.
Okay. Well, yeah, thanks for sharing that current knowledge. And so since we're talking, as an aside, when we prepare these safety minutes, when we're not the expert, I want to make sure that we state kind of where we're getting this information. And so you see in the bottom here, the websites that we've collected this information for the safety minutes. So this is from Allstate and Progressive, and so we're getting this from outside sources where they're recommending doing these things. But yeah, that's a really good point and fair information to maybe you don't need to share in this day and age. Don't need to share addresses, and it's probably good advice. So, anyways, yeah, sorry you were in a car accident, but thanks for sharing that information for us. So maybe don't share your address, but share some other information so you can remain in communication with the person that you're in the accident with. Document the accident, of course. Use your cell phone. Everyone has one. Pictures, video, record the date, time, and location. Your phone will probably do that for you anyways. And then with your insurance company, start the claim process. And so those are the six steps to take. State of Oregon also has some requirements from their part, and here's a website to go read those in detail. But in summary, it's that you're within 72 hours of an accident, you are to file an Oregon traffic accident and insurance report with the DMV. if the damage to any vehicle is over $2,500, or if any vehicle is towed from the scene, or if there's any injuries or death resulted from the accident. If none of those apply, then report to the DMV, and if this is the case, or report to the DMV that the other party lacks insurance. And just as a reminder, a police report does not count as filing an accident report with the DMV. You're required to do that yourself. So that's it with tonight's safety minute. And now go back to the general manager's report. I want to talk for more minute about safety minutes. So I'll note that at its February 15th, 2023 board meeting, the Tualatin Valley Water District decided to stop presenting safety minutes at the beginning of future board meetings. This change preserves staff's and the board's time for its critical business. This does not signal that safety is any less important at TVWD. Safety remains a central part of TVWD's culture. Since TVWD is the managing agency for the WIF, we propose following its lead. Unless a different direction is received from this WIF board, tonight's safety minute will be the last one presented at a WIF board meeting for the foreseeable future. Like TVWD, safety will remain a central part of the culture at the WIF Commission. I'd like to pause for a second here and get the WIF board's perspective on this. If we should pause, essentially, not share safety minutes at the beginning of future board meetings.
This is Jim Doan. I'm okay with not having a safety minute.
As Commissioner Godsey, even though in the past I've enjoyed your presentations, I kind of agree with the Tualatin Valley Water District Board that there might be more pressing issues to carry out the business of the commission than to find useful information on accidents and stuff. So I'd go along with that too.
This is Tim out in Sherwood. So I'm going to try to channel Keith Mays here for a second. I am guessing he would be fine, although it's great information and I appreciate the effort, he would be fine with foregoing the safety minute given all the other stuff the commission needs to be focused on.
Thank you.
Commissioner Tibnon, agreed.
And Ockerval, I agree as well. However, I will remember to take those pauses and stretch and get up from my keyboard and all of these other healthy things that you have taught us over the last many months and meetings. So thank you for all of that.
Great. Excellent. Thank you all for the feedback. That's exactly what I was looking for. I'll just check real quick, but Mayor Rosner, your hand is still up. Did you have something further, or you just didn't put the hand down yet? There.
Yeah, I just learned how to put my hand down. Sorry.
Yeah, we all do that. All right, great. Thank you. Thank you for the input. So that'll be the last of our safety minutes for now, unless we decide to change it in the future. But thank you for the input. So continuing on now with the general manager's report, we'll give you a quick raw water facilities update. The Willamette Water Supply Systems Raw Water Facilities Project is now well into its phase two construction effort. The WIF elements are currently in progress, include improvements to the raw water pump station, HVAC, which is heating, ventilation, and air conditioning equipment, power and resiliency components. Later this year, a new valve will be installed in the air burst system to replace an existing aging valve that's leaking. Additional phase two work includes completing the Willamette Water Supply System, upper side electrical building, surge system, and backup power. Number three is the WIF intergovernmental agreement and WIF easement updates. Staff have prepared legal descriptions for the easements granted in the WIF IGA. The new legal descriptions represent as-built conditions both on the Willamette River Water Treatment Plant property and below the Willamette River Ordinary Low Water Line, which is Department of State Lands jurisdiction. Staff will bring this item to the Management Committee for review before bringing it to this board for approval. For efficiency, this easement effort is proceeding in tandem with the Willamette Water Supply System's raw water pipeline easement work. Number four, is the Willamette Intake Facility's Curtailment Operations and Emergency Response Plans. Staff continue to make progress on the IGA-required Curtailment Operations and Emergency Response Plans for the WIF. The Operations Committee completed its annual review of the draft curtailment plan in late of the last year, 2022. Staff continue to work with the Operations Committee to draft sections of the Operations Plan and anticipate completing the initial draft of that plan this spring. The emergency response plan effort is now also underway, and staff plan to develop the draft document over the next year. All of these plans are anticipated to come to the board for review and adoption in 2025, so in about 2 years. And lastly, the quarterly financial reports, task 4C of the annual work plan, requires a managing agency to prepare quarterly financial reports and provide them to the WIF Commission Board as part of the packet. Attached to this general manager's report is the WIF, is the quarterly financial statement for the period ending January 31, 2023. And I'll just note there's nothing to call your attention to in that report. Everything is under budget and in line with expectations. So with that, that concludes my general manager's report. Be glad to take any questions if there are any. Looks like Mayor Rosner has a question.
Get my mic turned on. Thanks for that update. And I don't attend regularly, so forgive me if I'm getting caught up here. You mentioned an update to the WIF IGA that you guys are working on with the executive team. I'm assuming that's going to get all sent out to the cities that are signatory on that agreement to have our attorneys and everything go over that before it comes to the commission for approval.
Yeah, Mayor Rosner, I probably misstated there that if I stated, and I can see how the way this general manager's report is written, it sounds like we're updating the WIF IGA. We actually aren't, except that there's an exhibit to the back of the IGA that has basically a draft of the easement that we require for the WIF facilities. Specifically, what I mean by that is the WIF are the screens for the intake. The intake pipeline, the caisson on the bank, the pump station on top of the caisson, and then the seismic improvements to stabilize the bank in case of an earthquake event. Back in 2017, 2018, we made some guesses specifically in terms of the seismic improvements, what that was going to look like in terms of dimensions. Since that time, we've completed design and construction, and so we've finalized the placement of all of that. Now that all of that's finalized, now we can draw the easements around all of that and finalize that exhibit. So it's really just that we are finalizing none of the legal terms of the IGA or anything.
Okay, great. I just wanted to clarify on that. If it's just that easement, that's great. Appreciate that.
And like I said, that will be vetted with the management committee. Even that easement will be vetted with the management committee and brought to the board for approval. If there are no other questions, Chair Ekeval, I'll return the meeting back to you.
Okay, great. So our next section is public comment. And public comment is the time set aside for persons wishing to address the board on items on the consent agenda and matters not on the agenda. Additional public comment will be invited on agenda items as they're presented. So do we have any persons tonight that would like to make public comment?
No requests this evening.
Okay, thank you. And as a reminder, Annette is monitoring the chat feature if there's any future requests. So that brings us to the consent agenda. And consent agenda items are considered to be routine and may be enacted in one motion without separate discussion. Any board member may request that an item be removed by motion for discussion and separate action. However, I believe we just have one item on consent agenda tonight. But any items requested to be removed from the consent agenda for separate discussion will be considered immediately after the board has approved those items which do not require the discussion. So item A is the approval of the January 23rd, 2020 meeting minutes. And do I have a motion in a second to approve the consent agenda as presented? If you could also state your name prior to making the motion and the second. That's helpful as well.
Tim Rosner, so moved.
Commissioner Godsey, I'll second.
Thank you. So the board recorder will now conduct the voting roll call for the record.
All right. City of Beaverton?
Yes.
City of Hillsborough?
Yes.
City of Sherwood?
Yes.
TVWD?
Yes.
And City of Wilsonville?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. The motion passes. And that brings us to the business agenda item. Our first item, item A, is to consider adopting resolution number WIF0123 that is approving the Willamette Intake Facility's annual work plan and budget for the 2023-24 fiscal year. And if Mr. Carlton could present the staff report.
Thank you, Chair Akraval and commissioners. Next slide, please. So I'll be presenting the annual work plan and budget for your review and consideration of a resolution passing appropriations for the next fiscal year, the 23-24 fiscal year. Next slide, please. So tonight what we'll cover is changes from the current annual work plan that is wrapping up here in June 30th of this year, looking at the proposed appropriations for the budget for the next fiscal year, and following up with a staff recommendation for board consideration. Next slide, please. So as just a quick reminder of where we're at in the process, this is something that starts very early in the calendar year, actually late in the preceding calendar year. The initial drafts are distributed to the operations and finance committees in January, and they get the opportunity to review and provide comments. In March, we bring the proposed annual work plan and budget to the management committee for consideration, at which point they make a recommendation to bring forward to this body, which brings us to this evening, where we are requesting that this commission propose a adopt a resolution adopting the annual work plan and budget for next fiscal year. Next slide, please. Getting into the task level, so the annual work plan consists of the following tasks presented on this slide. Most of these things are regularly recurring activities. I do want to point out that there's an additional task that is added to the annual work plan, which is operations, maintenance, and repairs. So with the majority of the work being completed at the WIF facility in terms of expansion work on the raw water facility expansion project, those assets are in operation, commercial operation for accounting standards. So any costs associated with operations, maintenance, and repairs now need to run through the WIF commission accounting records. And so to have that occur, we have to have a budget for that as well as account for those activities. And so that is a new category that you'll see this year and going forward in the future. Next slide, please. For the general administration activities, we continue to do our plans response this year. We wrapped up a lot of the source water protection work. However, there is some work occurring in next fiscal year. The current major activities around the plan developments are focusing on the financial procedures workshops, and those will be moving forward this fiscal year, probably some wrap-up work next fiscal year. And then developing an emergency response plan will be the lion's share of the costs associated with plans development for the next fiscal year. Additionally, we'll continue to do capital projects management. As I mentioned, the majority of the work that affects the WIF has been completed. We're still waiting on the one valve that Dave Kraska mentioned is leaking, and once that comes in, that work will be wrapped up. But we'll continue to provide information on the work that is going on at the upper site that's associated with the Willamette Water Supply System Commission. Next slide, please. We will be having operations committee administration, so the number of meetings has been pared down to 6 per year, which is consistent with this current current fiscal year. I continue to administer the WIF board meetings and, as I mentioned, provide operations, maintenance, and repair work. So that consists of some utilities cost, equipment maintenance, and then contract labor, which is provided by Veolia at the existing treatment plant. Next slide, please. So looking at the current fiscal year budget versus next fiscal year budget, we're going from a $2.2 million to a $784,000. The big driver there, obviously, is the capital outlay category. So most of the work is complete, and so we'll see a pretty drastic decrease in capital outlay for the short to medium term. Materials and services costs, so that includes managing agency labor as well as professional services associated with the plans development that I discussed before. So the total, and then we obviously have a category for operating contingency. Just as a reminder, that operating contingency can only be accessed through board resolution, but that allows us some opportunities to cover unforeseen circumstances throughout the fiscal year for a total appropriation of $784,185. Next slide, please. Looking at that breakdown by partner for operations and admin, you can see each of the amounts and then the capital outlay amounts per each agency and then the total down in the far right column. Next slide, please. So on that note, staff is requesting that the board consider adopting Resolution 0123, approving the Willamette Intake Facilities Annual Work Plan and Budget for fiscal 23-24. And next slide, please. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions that the commissioners have.
Commissioner Godsey, I have no questions, and I move that we adopt Resolution WIF 0123.
Excellent. Is there a second?
Commissioner Tibnon, I second.
Thank you. Would the board recorder please conduct the voting roll call for the record?
Yep. City of Beaverton?
Yes.
City of Hillsborough?
Yes.
City of Sherwood? I think he dropped off. Yep. TVWD?
Yes.
And City of Wilsonville?
Yes.
All right. Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'm reminded that we are still at our quorum mark, even if we block the City of Sherwood, but hopefully he'll be able to rejoin soon. So the motion passes, and we can move on to our next business agenda item, which is to consider adopting resolution number WIF 0223. That is approving regular meeting dates for the Willamette Intake Facilities Board of Commissioners for the fiscal year 2023 to 2024. And Mr. Kraska, could you present the staff report here?
Definitely. Thank you again, Chair Ekavall, and good evening again, Commissioners. Keep this one really brief. In fact, next year, probably put this one on consent. And frankly, I don't know why I didn't put this one on consent for this year, but basically all this item is just approving the meeting dates for the next fiscal year. There's only 3 meetings, just like this year. There'll be October, January, and April. And we're recommending keeping it to the same time of day and it being the fourth Monday of each of those months. And since this is a fairly predictable commission, we also have in our staff report the anticipated agenda items for each of those meetings. So pretty non-controversial staff report and agenda item, and I'd be glad to answer any questions, but I can't imagine there would be any, but I'm here.
Thank you. Do we have any questions about this item?
Yeah. Thank you.
If not, could I get a motion and a second to adopt resolution number WIF 0223?
This is Jim Doan. So moved.
Commissioner Tibnon, second.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. Could the board recorder now conduct the voting roll call for the record?
Yes. City of Beaverton?
Yes.
City of Hillsborough?
Yes.
TBWD?
Yes.
And City of Wilsonville?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. The motion passes. Which brings us to the informational items. And our first item is the Watershed Protection Monitoring Outreach Plan. And Ms. Walter, I believe you have a staff report on this.
Yes, I do have a short one. Good evening, commissioners. Much progress to report, although I'm sorry I don't have any great visuals to accompany this update. I promise next meeting I will have some great stuff to share with you visually. Since the last meeting in January, GeoSyntech, our consultant assisting us with this, has finalized two technical memos, one on funding opportunities that the commission might want to pursue in future endeavors as we move forward with implementation of a source water protection plan in the future. And the second tech memo is on water quality monitoring technology and source water management case studies to assist us in the development of an upstream protection early warning systems. So we're trying to learn from the best of what other municipalities and jurisdictions have done out there in the universe, taking the best and trying to pull what we like into our plan here. So in addition to those two technical memos that have been developed and finalized, much of the focus of the past 3 months has actually been in preparing for stakeholder engagement. Staff worked very closely with GeoSyntech and their sub-consultant, Water Systems Consulting, in the area of outreach strategies, key messaging to stakeholders, and brand identity for the WIF Commission. Which is all going to guide us in our initial outreach efforts to external stakeholders. After this January meeting that we all held with you, we had two workshops with the WIF Operations Committee, one at the end of January, and then the second one was last Wednesday. We have begun, we took all the information that came out of the stakeholder outreach strategies and the key messaging, and now we've begun contacting agencies and organizations that we believe have the highest level of influence and interest to the water, to Willamette River watershed protection efforts that we want to undertake. And those have been classified as those agencies that we have gone through a process of whittling down from a larger group to a much smaller, narrow group, and those that we believe have are in need of the closest engagement with the WIF Commission. We've sent out some invitations to these agencies to participate in a series of virtual, multi-agency, but small group brown bag lunch sessions that we're going to have, focus groups, if you will, in May. The goal of the sessions are, one, to learn about their agencies and their current work efforts, the directions that they are going in watershed protection. Second is to share the WIF Commission's goals and initiatives that are coming out of the work efforts, not only of this plan, but also our mission, vision, values, and goals that we went through that process of establishing a little over a year ago. And three, we want to explore opportunities to collaborate and partner with each of these, with each other in the protection and preservation of the Willamette River and its basin. So the full list of agencies who and advocacy groups that we've determined to have the highest priority and the closest level of engagement that we believe this group should have with us are detailed in the full staff report that was included in your agenda packet. So you can see, you know, the full cadre of everyone we are outreaching to right now. We categorized them into five areas, or rather four areas, water providers along the Willamette River, so other agencies and jurisdictions that are doing the same type of work that we're doing, government agencies, environmental groups, and in general, a category we are just entitling agriculture. So again, we're gonna have five of these brown bag focus group sessions in the month of May. Once these focus group sessions are completed, we will then be at the wrap-up of the research and discovery portion of this project. That'll all end by June 30th. And then the final task of our contract with GeoSyntech will then take place after July, going in from July into the fall, and where they're going to pull all the information that they've been gathering for us in the last 2 years and actually generate the Watershed Protection Monitoring Outreach Plan for us. They will draft it between now and the fall. We're gonna be reviewing it and vetting it with not only staff, but the WIF Operations Committee and the Management Committee, and then bringing it back to you all for final review, and we hope you will adopt as we move forward. Again, I'm going to have a lot more to show you in at the October meeting, visuals and much more details as to what the plan entails and what we have been learning through all this discovery process. But for right now, that's the wrap up for what's going on. We're getting ready to actually contact stakeholders and invite them in for discussions. Any questions I can answer? Okay, that's what I had.
Okay. Well, thank you for your presentation. And if there aren't any questions, I know there was also some details and specifics in our report that was, you know, sent to all of us. But if there aren't any questions at this point, then I think we can go ahead and move to our next item, which is the legislative update. And I think that Mr. Carey has a staff report here.
Yes, thank you, Councilor Ockerville, commissioners. Good news is the legislative session is halfway over. Just a quick recap, there was, I think, well over 2,500 bills, so we're only talking about three tonight, thank goodness, after that session. So highlight a few of the bills related to water resources and watershed management activities. And just a couple items to note here. These bills are still currently working their way through the legislature, the ones we're talking about tonight. They're generally being supported and engaged with by our various coalitions, such as the Oregon Water Utility Council, the League of Oregon Cities, as I know, Councilor Ockerville, you mentioned the conference going on right now, and Special Districts Association of Oregon. So generally speaking, the bills we're talking about tonight generally benefit drinking water and, frankly, wastewater, any watershed management activities, water resource activities. So first bill up tonight, for a quick recap, is House Bill 2813. That's the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board Grant Program. So this bill would require the Oregon Health Authority to ensure that communities in Oregon have access to safe drinking water. It would direct OEB, the Watershed Enhancement Board, through the Community Drinking Water Enhancement and Protection Fund to establish a grant program for water suppliers to protect, restore, or enhance sources of drinking water. Grants of up to $3 million would be available for land acquisition with willing sellers to further protect drinking water sources. The current bill may establish some requirements that eligible water suppliers serve, quote, rural communities, communities experiencing lower incomes, or communities that are at or below a specified population level. I should also note that this bill has a focus or emphasis on forested lands as well. So despite these potential conditions, House Bill 2813 is still of interest to our commission, given, as Christina just mentioned, the ongoing development of our Watershed Protection Monitoring and Outreach Plan. As you can imagine, this bill is fully supported by our coalitions, OWOC, LOC, and SDAO, given the implications for source water protection. So next on the list tonight is House Bill 3100. This is an updated integrated water resource strategy bill. So the state's Integrated Water Resource Strategy, or IWRS as we call it, provides a statewide interagency framework to better meet Oregon's in-stream and out-of-stream water needs. The Water Resources Commission adopted the first IWRS in 2012 and the second one in 2017. The most notable changes included in this bill would extend the requirements to review and update the strategy from every 5 years to at least every 10. And establishes a Integrated Water Resource Strategy Advisory Committee to advise and support efforts to implement and update the plan. And it would also direct the Oregon Water Resources Department to report to the legislature on progress related to the implementation of the strategy. This bill has generally been supported by the drinking water community, and it does remain active right now in the legislature. So these are efforts going back several years, as I mentioned. The Integrated Water Resource Strategy is something many of us were involved with shaping back then. So again, generally supported. So last on the docket tonight, House Bill 3124, again, still active. This is a significant funding package comprising multiple investments and proposed actions from across the state designed to address ongoing and future drought conditions, as well as general water security for communities in Oregon. This is, the title of it is Bipartisan Drought Relief and Water Security Package. So the acronym that's getting used is BIDRAWS, another one to add to the list of acronyms. So probably need to remember that, but nonetheless, is it quite an investment package. In its current form, it's approximately $250 million and covers a broad range of targeted investments from project-specific items associated with agriculture and municipal infrastructure needs to increased outreach and engagement funding for state agencies. Some of the critical elements included in the package of relevance to the WIF Commission include water and sewer ratepayer assistance for low-income families, the continuation of place-based planning framework, as I just mentioned, integrated water resource strategy. That's effectively what place-based planning helps include, so more comprehensive planning across water basins. And development of technical resources to support new and expanded beneficial reuse of water, as well as land application of reclaimed wastewater in Oregon. So a lot of things in this package. The entire BIDRAWS package is included as an attachment to the staff report, just for consideration. This bill is generally supported by the drinking water community, as well as multiple coalitions from across the state. So that concludes my report tonight. Those are the active items we're still currently tracking. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer those right now.
Thank you. Do we have any questions for Mr. Curry? I'm not seeing any, but thank you for your report. And I think that brings us to the end, folks. The next board meeting is scheduled for October 23rd, 2023, and it will be via Microsoft Teams. We don't have any communication or non-agenda items scheduled, so that brings us to the end. Without having any further business, I call this meeting adjourned at 6:38. Have a good night, everyone.
Thank you.
Let me just bring
Commissioner. I'm sorry, Jim Down. Re-adjourn.
Died Saturday morning. I don't know that he was ever a WIF member, but